Hello and welcome to another episode of Django Chat. This week we're going to talk about URLs, IDs, slugs, UUIDs, and explain how it all works. I'm Will Vincent, and I'm joined as always by Carlton Gibson. Hi, Carlton.
Hello, Will.
All right, so let's get into URLs. So I'm asked a lot of questions around slugs in particular, which is sort of a Django-specific newspaper term, but we'll get into why URLs are confusing. So basically, when you're building a web application, and especially if you're new to Django, you will have two major types of views. You're going to have a list view. So let's take a blog application. The list view will just show all the blog posts or some subset of the blog posts. And then you will have, if you use a generic class-based view in Django, a detail view. So that's an individual page for just that post. And this is where the question comes up of what do you put in that URL? I would say the first place to start, you're making a...
No. I was just listening to you and thinking it through. Yeah, I mean, from like the URL is like the interface, right? So it's you've got it in your address browser, and sometimes they browsers now they don't show the URL fully. I'm old school. I like to see it. But a nicely designed URL scheme, it means that you've got say posts and then a forward slash and then an ID of some kind. So like you know, GitHub has GitHub, the organization or the user, the repo, the issue. And then issue number, and you can just adjust, you can get to a different issue number just by changing one little bit of the URL. And it's like each of these path components is meaningful, and you can kind of drive.
Yeah, and you can share it, and it helps with SEO versus a fully, you know, full JavaScript setup, which is what you were describing before, which Google's starting to be able to figure out how to search, but it's.
But, and you know, it's part of one of the, it's URLs are like the. One of the major components of what the web is and what the internet is, I guess, but what the web is. And it's they're glorious. I love them. I'm just geeking out momentarily.
Yeah. Well, I think until I started building websites, I never thought about URLs. I think your average, you know, consumer doesn't think twice about it, right? I mean, now they don't even have to remember them. They just type the name of the site into whatever search engine. But they do matter. They matter for developers who know what they're doing, who want to switch through the architecture, and it matters for SEO, and it just matters as a cleanliness structural thing. And one of these huge questions is, so how do you, especially when you have a detail page, so an example would be, so GitHub example, so you'd have, you know, GitHub slash, for me, it's WS Vincent, that's a list of all my repos, and then what does it look like for that individual repo for Django X, which is my starter project. You know, you could do that. You could have it just be Django X. So that's what GitHub does. That's basically like a slug. So it's just putting the title into the URL. And you would often, if it's multiple names, you would have a dash, not an underscore. That's a point of confusion.
Why
for
not
people,
an
right?
underscore?
Well, isn't a dash? You can do both, but I think it's, I usually see dashes as the preferred method. Do you have an opinion?
Not really.
On that?
I just, yeah, I mean, dash is. Probably a bit more readable or something.
There's something in the Django docs about, and I know this is like an ongoing debate among core people around like when to use underscores, when to use dashes, and some examples use one and not the other. I don't know if that's fully been resolved yet in the documentation.
For a Python identifier, a dash isn't a valid, it has to be an underscore because otherwise it wouldn't, so if it's like a variable name or a module name or a package names in Python code, it has to use an underscore. That's why Python...
But a URL... I think the default is a dash, not a URL. So the name. So if you're naming the URL, you would use an underscore. If you're crafting the URL, maybe you'd have a dash in there.
Normally,
slugs.
Think, yeah, if you've got a slug. So what is a slug? So if you create a blog post a model in Django and you add a slug field and you can link it to the title, say, and with the in the admin, for instance, it will automatically populate the slug field if you tell it which field to base it on. So you create a blog post with a title, My Great Post, and then it will automatically put my-great-post-post in the slug field. And that slug field is what will appear in the URL, is what you later then use in the URL.
Right. Well, and there's a specific slug field in the Django models, and there's a slugify function that will do that.
Yeah,
for
it takes
you, right?
a text string and it returns a slug like string, and you know
So that's I think with slugs too. There's two things about it. One is that you can do it in the admin. So again, if you take Django is built for a newspaper. If someone's going in and making it, it will automatically do it for them. Or you can have them, let them manually do it. Actually, if you're doing it automatically, then you need to get into the save method, right? To override that to automatically do a slug, I believe.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if the slug is required, then yeah, it needs to be set.
If it's required. I mean, if you're going to have the creator do it in the admin, you can just have the slug field and they'll just type it. But you can also, to your point, what's more common is based on the title or whatever, you can auto-populate it, and you do that by overriding the save method, which is a little black magic-y, but you get used to that. That's a common thing you'll do in, I don't know, real-world Django applications, override the save method. But it's confusing in any case. And then when you get to your URL, so now you're in your urls.py file, you now after 2.0, you can use path instead of using regular expressions in there. And you either will use the primary key or ID. So the Django models will, Django databases will, the Django ORM will automatically add an ID, an auto increment for you under the hood. So your first blog post has a 1, the second has a 2, so on and so forth. You can use that as the ID for a detail, for a generic class-based view detail view. But confusingly, you can also call it a primary key, PK. And I had a nice description of this, but I forgot off the top of my head. The difference between ID and a PK, I guess the difference between ID and a PK is you should probably use a PK, a primary key, because a primary key can refer to something other than an ID, like a UUID, which we'll get to, whereas an ID is very specific. Also, ID has a specific meaning a lot in programming languages. So when you are referencing the ID, you should probably call it a primary key.
Yeah, in Django, the PK shortcut is it will pick out whatever field on the model happens to be the primary key. Now, if you don't specify a primary key, it will be an auto-increment integer field, right?
Right. We'll get into changing that primary key.
But if you might have used a text field, for instance, if you're just writing a small contacts database just for your friends and family, where you know you're not going to have conflicts, then there's no harm with just using the text field for name, the char field for name, as the primary key, because it's unique. It's just Will and Carlton and you know Jessica, and as long as you don't have conflicts.
That's the challenge with your slugs, like you know hello world, you know you write 2 hello world posts, or you know the reason to get back to GitHub. The reason GitHub partially solves this by it goes github.com/your username/your repo name. And so even if I have a repo called Hello World and you have one called repo Hello World, they're at different URLs because our usernames are different and you can't have two repos with the same name. So that's a way that you can... So it's very rare to have a slug that is just, you know, example.com/slug. Usually you want something prepended to, I don't know, not make it unique, but make it distinguishable so you don't have these conflicts. And if you do have these conflicts, you can do things like you can automatically add integers or strings onto the end, but that gets really messy.
Yeah, I mean, so you want either unique for user or unique for date or unique for some other field, right? And you can add validators on forms or models to help you enforce these. So, you know, Django ships with unique for date and unique together and, you know, other constraints on the model field.
Yeah. And it used to be, you know, I don't know the SEO answer on this. It used to be common. You would have the date in your, for example, your blog, but that's not great for SEO in some ways. And if you update your blog post, then it gets out of date. So
for me, I think if you're creating an actual weblog, an actual blog, like a historical record of what you've been doing that you put on the internet, then great. Have the date in the URL because on, you know, this date, I wrote this post. But people came to realize that they wanted evergreen content, you know, particularly for marketing sites where they put out 2 or 3 really high quality posts, which are evergreen content, which they're going to hope to drive search traffic to and all these things. You don't want the date in those posts because the date is irrelevant. They're evergreen.
Right. Or if you write Django tutorials, like on my personal site, and you update them to the latest version of Django, you don't want... You know, Django 2.2 on a post from 2016.
So it depends. Is it a web blog or is it evergreen content, which the date isn't relevant for?
Yeah. So that brings us... So we talked about... So the default is probably to use a primary key. I think when I teach detail views to people, I usually start with a primary key and then I'll discuss slugs. Slugs are a little bit more complicated. You have to do it in the admin or override the save method. But there is another option that is probably a better choice, which is a universally unique identifier, a UUID, which Django added some really nice features around recently. So do you want to explain what a UUID is, Carlton?
Well, UUID is what this long string, you think of it as a long string that's universally unique, right? So it, part of the, UUID4 is a particular algorithm for constructing these unique identifiers. And part of it is like the, based on the MAC address of the machine that it was generated on. Part of it is based on, you know, the time. Part of, you know, and so the chances of a conflict between these are microscopically slim. And so in a way that what ID1 or ID2 might not be unique, the UUID will be unique. And this is super good for if you're creating model instances in multiple places. So let's say you've got a Django app with a server and everybody's creating, they're using traditional web requests and they're creating the instances on the server. Well, primary key, integer primary keys are no problem because the database will ensure that the next one created will get the next primary key and you don't have to worry about it. But then let's say you add a mobile client and that has offline capabilities where people are able to create instances on the mobile client and then sync them to the server later on. All of a sudden, you've got the danger of the same UUID or the same ID being created both on the mobile client and on the server at the same time by different requests. And so the way you get around that is to use UUIDs because you know no matter where it was created, there's not going to be a conflict. So later on when you go to upload the instance that was created on the client in an offline context to the server, you know there won't be a conflict of the ID.
Yeah, and this is a bit similar, the mobile example, when we talked about our authentication podcast, why using tokens rather than session IDs. Again, this syncing issue crops up. Another issue why a UUID is a good idea is if you have your ID hard-coded in the URL, like let's say, for example, I've got a list of clients and each one is an ID and someone creates a new account and sees, oh, I'm client number 500. Now they know exactly how many clients you have. If you're at a banking site, all these issues, it's just too much information to display publicly. It really is a security concern in most cases to just put the literal database ID in the URL. I mean, for a blog, it doesn't matter. But if you're building certainly anything enterprise or anything charging money, just for a security standpoint, a UUID is safer.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to people to just be able to guess the URLs, and UUIDs aren't really guessable either, right? So you can't.
Yeah, they're meant.
No, but like, so if I give you a URL that's got ID 500 in it, and I go, well, I wonder what ID 501 is. Oh, look, does that come up? And
yeah.
Whereas if I gave you a UUID, you could type in any random string, and it's likely not to be an entry in the database.
Yeah, and then there's a further level of, you actually shared this with me, Carlton. IDs. So there's a hashids.org site and there's a Django hash ID field third-party package. But
they enable you to have integer primary keys in the database, but then they create a nice short slug, which is, half a dozen letters long, which isn't guessable. It's not, you can't go from 1 to 2 to 3 by just incrementing it because the algorithm that generates the hash ID isn't guessable. But they're much shorter and nicer than UUIDs. UUIDs are long and ugly and horrible, whereas 6-7 characters, brilliant. That's nice. So hash IDs are lovely.
Yeah.
I like them. They kind of solve the they're exposable in a way that primary keys you might not worry about. They're not you use a salt in them so that they're not predictable, but they still enable you to use integer primary keys under the hood.
Yeah, they're nice. And if you're, how do I go through, step through this process? This is actually a chapter in my book, Django for Professionals, which should be out now when this podcast is released. Because it is, I think, it really is tricky to go from ID to slug to UUID, let alone to hash ID. And once you've done it all, you can sort of make these trade-offs and think about what to do. But I think a takeaway is you can do these things. If you are in doubt, use a UUID or a hash ID. And it's not really that much more work if you do it from the beginning.
So for instance,
switching over is a little bit of a pain.
So if you've got a model which uses integer primary keys and you want to use a hash ID in, say, an API, well, the Django hash IDs package has a REST framework serializer field, which will serialize the integer primary key to a hash ID and vice versa. So that will handle exposing in your API. That's great. You can do the similar to put them into template context if you need to do that. If you need to migrate to a UUID, well, first thing, when you're coming up with your model, ask yourself this: am I going to need to sync this? If you are going to need to sync it, but from a mobile client, then use a UUID to begin with. If you're not going to, just stick with an ID. It's easier. It's simpler. But if you do need to migrate, well, probably add the UUID field. Check everything's working when you've adjusted, and then switch over the primary key in the field definition and remove the create a migration which will remove the auto created ID field for you. So the Django migrations package will do that. But do it slowly. Add the UUID field first, adjust your API, make sure everything's working, and then switch over. Because
it's not a small undertaking. Not to mention, existing API endpoints or existing pages.
Try and think about it in advance if you can.
It's slightly more complex, but I would say when in doubt, just default to a UUID or a hash ID, and you'll future-proof it. A little bit like using a custom user model for most people. You could also do profiles. You can change it later downstream, but it's
I think the general advice, when you're designing your application, think about your URL structure. Think what you want your URLs to look like. Spend a bit of time, because cool URLs, they don't change. They stay the same forever. And they're reliable and they're addressable, and you can bookmark that and you can go back to it. So think about your URL structure and try and design your application nicely around your URLs.
Yeah, and I would say that with a bit of experience, after the schema, the URLs is the second most important thing I think about in terms of architecting a project. Because the pages themselves, that can change, but really it's... hopefully that doesn't change as much as even the views for what's displayed on the page itself. That's more likely to change than your underlying URL structure.
Yeah, and I think of URLs as well as like a power tool for power users of your site. It's like the command line interface on your computer. If you fire up the terminal and you can drive your computer from the command line, you can do things very quickly and very powerfully that might be more long-winded via the GUI. Now, the GUI is obviously easier, and that's great, and it's more accessible, and we love GUIs, but sometimes that power tool is exactly what you need. And if you've got a really nice URL structure, it just enables people who are really into your site and into your application to use it more efficiently.
Agreed. So this wasn't the longest episode, but I think it covers an important point and something that trips people up. And hash IDs in particular, if you're already familiar with UUIDs, hash IDs are really cool and worth looking
into. It's a nice little library. It's a nice little tool if you... it's this middle ground between the two.
Yeah, exactly. So as always, you can reach us at the djangochat.com website. We're on Twitter at chatdjango. If you like this podcast, please also leave a review on whatever service you use. We've received some really nice reviews, but reviews help people find our work and keep us motivated to keep doing these. And that's it. Anything else you want to add, Carlton?
Questions. Well, send in some things. We should have an episode on user questions or listener questions.
Yes, actually, we should. We've been getting a number, and we've done a couple that are full-length episodes, like the admin, because we got asked a couple questions on that. But especially if there's... It can be a small question. That would be fun to do a grab bag of user questions. So send those in. All right. We'll see everyone next time. Thanks for listening.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.